live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, cybersecurity experts say Ireland should be spending 10 times what it currently is on cybersecurity. Andrew McGinley says he will never recover from the loss of his children and his life will be dedicated to preserving their memory. The owner of one of two horses killed on the N56 in the early hours of Monday morning says he believes the horses were deliberately released. And today marks the 30th anniversary of the murder of Donegal councillor Eddie Fullerton. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport coming up at about 5:15. First news though, opposition is growing in the Dáil to the government's plans to extend emergency COVID powers until November the 9th. The regulations give effect to many restrictions, including mask wearing, bans on mass gatherings and requiring people to stay in their homes. Political correspondent Sean Defoe has more.
Yesterday, the Senate approved a five-month extension to the government's emergency powers, with Health Minister Stephen Donnelly saying they're still needed for a time.
That's the public health view. My hope is that we don't have to exercise any of them. But if we do, that they are lighter touch measures, like having to wear masks in particular.
That extension wouldn't mean that all restrictions would last until November, but would give the government the power to bring them back if there's another COVID surge. However, the opposition thinks the time frame is too long. Sinn Féin's pushing for a July expiry date, as are the Social Democrats, according to co-leader Roisin Shorthall.
We would have a short extension, a six-week extension, to enable a review to take place.
Labour has suggested a September expiry, while People Before Profit's Gino Kenny thinks they should expire immediately.
That's what we're proposing, that them emergency powers would be rescinded. The police have powers already prior to the pandemic to stop assembly.
One of the big issues is the lack of a clear sunset clause for the ending of these emergency powers and an ability in this bill for the government to keep extending them in three-month intervals after November. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
Guidelines for the hospitality sector are expected to be published by Fáilte Árnán today. It's thought a 1 hour and 45 minute rule will return for indoor dining, along with tables placed 1 metre apart. The Restaurant Association of Ireland is welcoming the advice, but CEO Adrian Cummings says they need a firm date for reopening indoor dining.
We implemented the guidelines as best we could, and we believe that the guidelines are fair and practical for our industry. What we really want to do is get open on the 2nd of June along with hotels, so that there's no discriminatory practice between an independent restaurant, gastropub or cafe and a hotel, which can open fully on the 2nd of June.
Meanwhile, hotel and guesthouse owners in Donegal are welcoming the increase in bookings that has followed confirmation that hotels will reopen on tomorrow week, June the 2nd. The latest industry survey from the Irish Hotels Federation shows booking levels in the border region running slightly ahead of the national averages. Adrian Harmon has more.
As hotels and guesthouses across the country prepare to reopen, IHF Donegal branch chair Paul Diver says the increase in bookings in the past fortnight has been a welcome morale boost to IHF members and also the thousands of people employed in Irish hotels. Bookings in the border area are at 26% for June, 40% for July and 37% for August. These figures are higher than the national average, and some hotels in Donegal are already close to capacity for peak periods. Paul Diver says the domestic market was a real positive last year, and they expect home holidays to be very important for the sector again this year. While hotels and guesthouses are not banking on significant overseas visitors this year, Mr. Diver is calling on the government to implement the EU COVID-19 travel certificate, expected to be approved by the EU next month, as quickly as possible.
Well, the Transport Minister has said fully vaccinated people should be allowed to fly internationally without restrictions. Eamon Ryan says when travel reopens, quarantine and testing rules should not apply to those who've been vaccinated. Cabinet will make a decision on Friday on a timeline for reopening international travel. Minister Eamon Ryan says a level of pragmatism will be needed.
As the vaccination programme is rolled out and large portions of the population are fully vaccinated, I would like to see this principle applied more broadly in the context of the opening of international travel, i.e. that fully vaccinated people who do not present an intolerable public health risk for the spread of COVID-19 are not to be subject to pre-arrival testing or quarantine requirements.
The government should be spending 10 times what it currently is on cybersecurity. Cybersecurity experts have advised TDs and senators that Ireland needs to raise its game when it comes to protecting against hackers. Casey O'Riordan has more.
Following the HSE cyber attack, the government has faced criticism for the €5 million annual budget allocated to the National Cyber Security Centre. This morning at an Oireachtas committee to discuss the country's cybersecurity consultant Pat Larkin outlined how much should be invested by government.
Just against the UK, who've spent about £2.9 billion on their national security from 2018 to 2023. So on a simple per capita basis, that would suggest we would need to be spending about £50 million plus.
The NCSC has approximately 25 staff and no dedicated premises. The role of director has been vacant for more than a year, as the salary of €89,000 has failed to attract an appropriate candidate. Cybersecurity recruitment expert is Blanet Carolyn.
We must apply the salary range and benchmarking of the private market sector. A basic salary ranging between €220,000 to €290,000 per annum.
TDs and senators were told that the public sector was more focused on compliance rather than defence, and that the mindset needs to change.
The general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital says progress is being made in addressing the problems caused by the cyber attack on HSC systems, but says it is not yet possible to restore services. On today's 9 till noon show, Sean Murphy outlined the services still impacted at the hospital.
There's a lot of work going on, but I suppose the bottom line is our systems are not returned to us yet, and that's from a service delivery point of view, that's our fundamental weakness. So again, unfortunately, the message in terms of service delivery remains the same as I've been saying now for the last 7 days. Please do not attend for your outpatient appointment unless we contact you, or it's your antenatal or maternity appointment, or it's a physiotherapy appointment. Similarly, for endoscopy, inpatient surgery and day surgery, again, we will contact you if your appointment's gone ahead. Our dialysis continues. Our maternity services are all continuing as normal. And haematology, oncology, day treatments are continuing for the most part. But some patients we are having to reschedule.
Andrew McGinley says he will never recover from the loss of his children, and his life will be dedicated to preserving their memory. Last week, his wife Deirdre Morley was found not guilty by reason of insanity of the murder of their three children, 9-year-old Connor, 7-year-old Dara and 3-year-old Carla. Andrew McGinley, who is originally from Donegal Town, has called for an urgent review of his wife's medical care before the tragedy occurred. He told Grey Hughes that he believes things would have been different if he had been involved, and he believes there were ways of doing that without breaching confidentiality.
Well, there is that patient confidentiality, and I suppose the because there isn't an advocate signed, the professional services are relying on the patient to come back, in this case, Dee, to come back and tell us what she needed. Of all the people that she, I suppose, wanted to, that she didn't want to know how bad she was, it was probably me. She wanted to put her best foot forward and to, you know, do the best that she could. So certainly when I would come in the door, I was seeing a D that I knew, you know, wasn't the D of old, but she was doing her best and responding, and she was going to all her classes, she was taking her medication, she was doing everything. So other than being able to sit down with the experts, I'm just like, at the trial, there was information coming out. So even not to break that confidentiality, the professional services could have rang me and said, right, Dee was in with us today. What did she say to you when she came back? And I could have said, well, she told me A, B and C. And they could have thought to themselves, actually, she should have said X, Y and Z.
The owner of one of two horses killed on the N56 in the early hours of yesterday morning says he believes the horses were deliberately released. Three horses were on the road, two of them died. The owner of one of them says his was in a separate enclosure and he is certain all three horses were fully secure. Garda Niall Maguire is appealing for information and in particular for dashcam footage.
Two horses were unfortunately killed in what we're treating at the moment is a road traffic collision. That happened on Sunday night past going into Monday morning in the small hours. And the times we have when they were last seen in their paddock was at 12 midnight until 4 a.m. This happened at the area known locally as Blue Banks, the townland of Cashelgay, towards Kilmacrenan on the main N56, where the bad bends used to be in the road. People probably have seen these horses in the paddocks because, you know, there's a beautiful little field and the horses are lovely. And unfortunately, three horses got out, two of them were killed. It's two separate accidents. There were two different vehicles involved. Thank God none of the drivers of the vehicles were injured, but unfortunately both horses lost their lives, and it's very tragic, and we would like to get direction on our investigation and see if we can progress this as far as possible. There's two families devastated by the loss of their pets. Again, something that would be very useful to us, because it was, again, them hours of the morning, 12 midnight to 4 a.m. If anybody had a dash cam that was on that road at all, even if, you know, if you don't have even time to look at it, drop it into us and we don't have the time to go through it, you know. So if anybody saw horses, anything suspicious, any vehicles, persons at Cashelgay or the Blue Banks and at Kilmacrenan, at Coolboy, certainly it's the guards in Milford looking after it.
And meanwhile, Gardaí in Milford are appealing for information in relation to a fire at a derelict house in Kilmacrenan on Friday evening last between 6:30 and shortly after 9 o'clock. The incident at the house, which is close to the Rosemount estate, is being treated as criminal damage. Donal Kavanagh has more.
Gardaí say a number of youths were observed running from the property shortly before the fire was noticed, just after 9 p.m. The fire brigade was alerted and attended the scene. Gardaí are appealing to anyone who may have observed these youths to contact them in Milford on 074-91-53060. Gardaí also say they would encourage the youths in question to speak to a parent or come speak to them in relation to the matter. Gardaí are also urging parents to speak to young people and make them aware of the dangers involved in entering derelict buildings. Besides the fact that they're trespassing in doing so, Gardaí say many of these buildings are very unstable and unsafe, and this incident could easily have ended in a tragedy.
Today marks the 30th anniversary of the murder of Donegal councillor Eddie Fullerton. The Sinn Féin councillor was shot dead by the UDA at his Buncrana home on May the 25th, 1991. He was 56 years old. In 1979, he became the first Sinn Féin member to be elected to Donegal County Council. Sinn Féin President Mary Lou MacDonald has called for a public inquiry into the circumstances of his death. Maria Doherty has been coordinating a series of commemorative events.
This case is still live. Nobody has ever been charged. It has been highlighted, and it will be seen tonight. We are rescreening an excellent documentary that was done 16 years ago called Fullerton by Scunscan on TG Cahir, and it highlighted all of those issues around collusion, around the fact that evidence wasn't gathered properly by the Gardaí, about the role that the RUC played. So we're rescreening that tonight and then having a very in-depth 45-minute panel discussion with Amanda, representatives from the Pat Finucane Centre, and Cadwallader, Paul O'Connor, their lawyer, Kevin Winters, and the producer of the TG Cahir documentary, and Padraig McLaughlin, RTD for Sinn Féin Donegal, introducing it. Unfortunately, after 30 years, nobody has been charged with this, and this case is still live.
Do you believe that the renewed focus as a result of this 30th anniversary will translate into renewed effort, renewed vigour, and ultimately renewed progress?
One would hope so. The president of Sinn Féin has just called for a public inquiry. That should have happened an awful long time ago, and this should have been resolved. And we'll be calling on all parties involved, the British government and the Irish government, to step up and support the family in resolving Eddie's case and finding out what exactly happened.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up on all your training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with Gaelic Games. The GAA have confirmed that from this weekend, 500 spectators will be permitted to attend Alliance League games in the six counties. However, teams from outside the north will only be permitted 50 complimentary tickets. With cross-border travel for non-essential reasons discouraged, and following discussions with Ulster GAA, the host county will be allowed to sell 400 tickets locally only, with 50 complimentary going to the home county. Donegal will be allocated 50 for this weekend's game in Armagh at the Athletic Grounds, but they will be for non-playing players and county officials, not for sale to spectators. This will also apply to Monaghan, who travel to Hayley Park and Omagh to face Tyrone. Clare GAA have given their full backing to hurling manager Brian Lohan in the war of words with Wexford after Sunday's league game with Laois. He claimed Wexford had nominated two members of his panel as close contacts of the Model County players who tested positive for COVID. Wexford called the claim outrageous and sought a retraction, but Clare are standing by their manager. Meanwhile, the GAA's CCCC have fixed the Division 1B game between Kilkenny and Wexford for the Sunday, May 30th at Nolan Park at 3 o'clock, subject to Wexford players currently isolating being deemed safe to play by the HSE. Liverpool's Trent Alexander-Arnold has been recalled by Gareth Southgate for England's provisional squad for the summer's Euros. Uncapped Brighton defender Ben White is also named in the 33-man group, which must be cut down to 26 by next Tuesday. Jesse Lingard, Ollie Watkins and Mason Greenwood also make the initial list. Southgate has delayed confirming his final squad due to injuries to players, including Harry Maguire and Calvin Phillips. Southampton striker Danny Ings has missed out, while Leeds forward Patrick Bamford and Tottenham's Eric Dyer have also been left out of the provisional list. Former England defender Matt Upson says one decision has shocked him.
Excellent season for Patrick Bamford, and I think he's knocking on the door for sure. I think he's playing really well, but hasn't been involved enough. I think Danny Ings is the one big surprise in this number of players. It's a shock to not see his name on the paper when there's 33 players.
Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola has been named Manager of the Year by the League Managers Association. He guided the club to their third Premier League title in four seasons and a first Champions League final in which they played Chelsea this coming Saturday. Ahead of that game, UEFA have confirmed there will be up to 16,500 people in attendance. The All-English decider is taking place at the home stadium of Portuguese club Porto, which has a capacity of 50,000. City and Chelsea have each been allocated 6,000 tickets for their supporters. Remaining tickets will go to VIPs, as well as 1,700 seats going on general sale to the public. Ryan Johansson has been included in the Republic of Ireland under 21 panel for friendlies against Switzerland, Australia and Denmark, which kick off in Marbella on Sunday. Sevilla player Johansson was recently granted clearance by FIFA to play for the national team. He has played at underage level for Luxembourg, but his mother is Irish. Manager Jim Crawford has also named Getafe's Jonjo Patrick Finn in his squad for the first time. In all, there are seven newcomers in the party of 26. There are games tonight in the Irish Premiership. Leaders Linfield are 5 points ahead of Coleraine, with two league matches remaining ahead of tonight's meeting at the Showgrounds. David Healy's men need a point to secure a first league and cup double since 2017, but a win for Oran Kearney's side would see them move to within striking distance of top spot on the final day. Among the other games, Glentoran are at Larne and Ungannon Swifts go to Portadown. Finally, Letterkenny and City of Derry rugby clubs have announced new coaches for the season ahead. Paul O'Kane, who had been head coach and director of rugby at City of Derry since April 2018, will take charge at Letterkenny. O'Kane was also linked with a move to Sligo, but has opted to try and guide the Donegal club up through the junior ranks in Ulster. Richard McCarter now takes over the lead role at City of Derry. He had been backs coach and assistant to O'Kane during his time at the Judges Road Club. That's your sport this Tuesday. We'll have more for you tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Ashley. And returning to some news, a large amount of cash, cigarettes and a safe has been stolen from a filling station in Castlefin. Between 1:30am and 3am on Sunday, the premises was broken into via a rear storeroom. Garda Niall Maguire is urging anyone with information to come forward.
A grey saloon-style car was observed in the area of the filling station around the time, and we are appealing to anybody who may have observed this car or any vehicles or people in the early hours of Sunday morning to contact us. We're asking particularly motorists that may have had dash cams and who may have been in the general Castlefin area on Sunday morning, the 23rd of May, between 1:30am and 2:57am. Please contact the garage in Letterkenny on 074-9167-100 or indeed, again, the Garda Confidential line on 1-800-666-111.
The maternity unit at Letterkenny University Hospital is arranging for pregnant women who are between 14 and 36 weeks gestation to get their COVID-19 vaccine at LYIT's vaccination centre. Women who have antenatal appointments will have an opportunity to discuss the vaccine with their midwife or doctor. Afterwards, their contact details will be passed on to the vaccination centre to arrange an appointment should they decide to proceed with vaccination. In addition, a vaccination line for pregnant women has been set up by Letterkenny University Hospital. It can be reached on 074 91 235 13 between 9am and 4pm Monday to Friday. The 2021 Blue Flag Awards have been announced, with Donegal retaining its 14 flags, the joint highest number, along with Kerry. The flags will fly once again this year at Bundoran, Rossnoyla, Merva, Findra, Port Newnarn, Carrickfinn, Killahoy, Marblehill, Downings, Port Salon, Kildaff, Strove, Greencastle Marina and Rathmullen Marina. Four areas of Donegal have retained Green Coast Awards. They are Dhu, Maharorty, Drumatinny and Ballyhearn. Donegal County Council Cathaoirleach Councillor Rena Donaghy has congratulated the areas which have retained their flags, but says it's disappointing that Lisfannan still hasn't regained its flag.
We try to have as many blue flags as we can. I think we knew from a while back there that Lisfannan was not going to get the blue flag this year, and you're right, it's very, very disappointing. There's a few factors that need to be sorted out up there. I met with Irish Water there last week. What we really need is a main sewer from Buncranity Fawn to pick up all the septic tanks along the way. And until we get that, I don't think we're going to get a blue flag in Lisfannan. Irish Water said yes, they're looking at a main sewer up there. There's going to be a few years. We'll do everything we can in the meantime, but there is a few things that need to be done up there that are contributing to us not getting the blue flag.
Do you believe that the EPA is taking an overly strict view on what's happening in Lisfannan? Because the argument has been made that, yes, that there had been an issue with septic tanks, but there is no question that there is a risk to the bathing water as a result of that.
No, that's right. But it definitely is a contributing factor. And while the waters are safe to swim in, we'll need to have all this other stuff sorted first before we can get our blue flag back.
The number of people receiving the pandemic unemployment payment has dropped by over 29,000 this week. Nearly 334,000 people will receive the payment at a total of €102 million. 11,567 people in Donegal are in receipt of the payment this week, down 7% on last week's figures. 837 people in the county closed their PUP claim this week, while 4,608 people will receive the COVID-19 enhanced illness benefit. And finally, a consultation gets underway tomorrow on proposals to introduce weight restrictions on trucks travelling through Clady and the Tyrone-Donegal border. Last evening in the Assembly at Stormont, Infrastructure Minister Nicola Mallon said she had met with residents to discuss their concerns about HGVs using Clady Village as a shortcut between the A5 south of Strabane to the N15 in Donegal. Weather now this evening will be dry in many areas, with a good deal of sunshine and just a few isolated showers. Lowest temperatures tonight of 1 to 5 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the General Manager of Letterkenny University Hospital says progress is being made in addressing the problems caused by the cyber attack on HSE systems, but says it is not yet possible to restore services. Andrew McGinley says he will never recover from the loss of his children and his life will be dedicated to preserving their memory. Last week, his wife Deirdre Morley was found not guilty by reason of insanity of the murder of their three children, a 9-year-old Connor, 7-year-old Dara and 3-year-old Carla. The owner of one of two horses killed on the N56 in the early hours of yesterday morning says he believes the horses were deliberately released. Three horses were on the road, two of them died. And today marks the 30th anniversary of the murder of Donegal councillor Eddie Fullerton. The Sinn Féin councillor was shot dead by the UDA at his Buncrana home on May the 25th, 1991. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to your podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, May the 25th. The death has occurred of Jean Hanlon, née Stuart, 66, the Glebe Stranorler. Funeral leaving her late residence on Thursday afternoon at 22:02 for service of Thanksgiving in Stranorler Parish Church at 2 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Funeral service of Thanksgiving will be streamed live via the parish Facebook page. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to Stranorler Parish Church, care of any family member. In compliance with current HSE and government guidelines, the house, funeral and burial will be strictly private to the immediate family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. and the death has taken place of Charles Doherty, Maher Ard, Ballyliffin, Clamane. His remains will repose at his late residence from this evening. Funeral from there at 10:30 on Thursday morning, going to St Mary's Church, Clamane, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. GTHSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/Clamane. GTHSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted.